From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of psychic phenomena and the unexplained, UFOs, extraterrestrial encounters, government cover-ups, alternative healthcare, new technologies. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
And this is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio. Glad to be with you right now. You know, many of you, of course, listen to the show on the internet, and it's always a pleasure to be with you here on the net. There has been a tremendous amount of information bombarding us in the last 5, maybe 10 years. And it has all been about the possibility of reversing the aging process. My guest this evening is John Thomas. We are going to hear from him. He has a book. It's in its third edition, completely revised. It's called Young Again. It is a book on how to reverse the aging process. Welcome to the show, John.
My pleasure, Bruce.
John, why don't we start right from the beginning here? What is it that you know that we need to know?
Well, you know, you look around and you listen to all the experts, and everybody has their thing to say about it. But when you look at these people, you know things don't square up. They don't look young. They may act young, but they don't look it. And they're generally not very good advertisements for what they're preaching. And this quite often disappoints a lot of people when they see that. I sat down to write a book that needed to be written because I have, in fact, reversed the aging process of my own life, and I teach other people how to do it. And it's nice to experience it. It's nice at 50, pushing 52 years on the calendar, to be able to say, hey, I have a bioelectric age of 19. That's the age, my real age, the age of my internal vital organs.
And okay, stop. Let's stop for a second. Now,
right.
You use the term bioelectric.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how does a person get a bioelectric aging done?
In chapter 3 in my book, I'm going to walk you through a lengthy chapter to where you will be able to determine exactly what your bioelectric age is, Bruce. And it's not so important what it is as much as it is that you know what it is, because that becomes a reference point for you. So let me give you an example. Today you're 40.
I am going to be 50 in January. So,
okay, so
let's use real numbers, and I will be the guinea pig.
All right. So let's just say you're right close to 50 now, and you do the test and you find out that you're actually 80.
Mm-hmm.
Internally, your vital organs, because this is ultimately what controls the aging process.
Sure.
Is your vital organs.
And you're going to tell us how we do that.
Yes. 250 point questionnaire. And they'll be the darndest questions you ever answered in your life. But I guarantee you I will raise your interest level, because those questions will cause you to start taking a look at everybody around you, including yourself, and noticing all kinds of little things that you just kind of take for granted. And it took me many years to put this together, but you add it all up and say, okay, Bruce, I may be 50, but I'm really 80. So now we have...
But I have to tell the truth, right?
Yes. You have to tell the truth.
Okay.
So we go about reversing the process that brought it on. The rest of the book will be involved in teaching you how you got to where you're at. If you're already old, you already got all kinds of health problems, it's just simply where you are. It's not good or bad. It's just, this is where you're at. The question, you know, as I always say to everybody, I don't care what your problem is. The question is, what are you willing to do about it?
All right. Now, we're not going to do the whole thing, because this is a long test. Or are we? We're not going to do the whole
thing on the radio. Oh, no, I wouldn't even think about it on the radio. Impossible.
Right. But you know, let's talk for a second now. People who are listening to the show, and I know I stopped you short, but I mean, my goodness, I mean, you can rattle this stuff off so fast and so easily. I think what we need to do is at least maybe slow down a little bit and give people specifics here, so that way they feel like they at least know a little bit about this. You start right with the symptoms and contributing factors of bioelectric aging. The first thing you start with is height, loss of physical height. Now, what does that mean?
Well,
you have to find out what your highest height was and then how tall you are now?
That is correct. Now, this question tends to apply to women more than men. Certainly for women, when they hit around menopause age, around 50 on, they start shrinking in height.
Now, I know that I've shrunk in height, and that's because of a back operation I had where some of the material was taken out from, mm-hmm. from compressed discs.
Mm-hmm. And that we can give you slack on. In other words, that's a physical intervention there that took place. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the actual loss of height that occurs in the process we call aging.
Right. You say a half inch or more is 200 points.
Mm-hmm.
Are we looking for the least points or the highest points?
The least. The least. The higher your points, the more trouble you're in.
All right.
The important point of that particular item for people to understand is this. Look, as you age, whether you're a man or a woman, especially women, but men too, you start losing height. And that loss of height represents a breakdown in the connective tissues of your body. And when I say connective tissues, I mean the cartilage, the bones, the ligaments, tendons, muscles, discs in your back, the skin. Those are all connective tissues. And as the body begins aging, or as the aging progresses, I should say, we start losing height. And so height becomes a very, very, very big item in this list. It doesn't seem like much on the surface, but it represents everything that's going on in your system in total. And so it just happens to be one of the points.
Sure. Okay. You got crow's feet around the eyes,
mm-hmm.
mild or heavy. I like this one. The stomach, we're looking at a paunchy stomach, a pot beer belly. Now, eyebrows, thick and bushy. What does that mean? Why?
Well, again, as you age, you
start
seeing...
Of course, that's only 15 points, so I mean, we don't have to really worry about that one too much, right?
Well, but you remember, this is total, cumulative.
Okay. I know.
We're after everything.
The details definitely take care. How come a bald head takes precedence?
Ah, because what does the hair represent on the body, Bruce?
I don't know.
Well, we would like to think it's there to make us look beautiful and to keep us keep the sun off the head, you know, and all of that, but not really. The hair and the nails are both extensions of your skin, and they have meaning. When you see a man thinning or balding, when you see a woman's hair thinning, and it usually starts in their mid-30s, we need to understand that, look, the aging process is well on its way. It doesn't mean you're going to die tomorrow. What it does mean is that every time your heart pumps blood, 40% of the blood leaving that heart goes up your neck. And the very, very, very finest capillaries in the whole body are contained in your head. Behind the eyes, for instance, there's over 80 miles of blood capillaries per eye, to say nothing of the rest of the head. And as these blood capillaries clog up, close up, the oxygen and nutrients getting in diminishes. The waste and the carbon dioxide can't get out.
Are you implying that people who are bald are not getting the same amount of blood to their brain as the rest of us?
Well, I'm implying that for sure.
I know I cut you off, but I mean
that's
I had... It's
okay.
Yeah.
What I am saying is this. No, I'm not saying they aren't getting the same amount of blood to their brain. What I am saying is one of the signs of aging is balding or thinning hair. Okay. Consequently, we need
now, you know you're going to laugh when I say this, but I mean, there are people who believe, for example, that we are changing from being primates to being different types of humans, and that the higher beings, if the extraterrestrial races are examples of higher beings, don't have hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they live long. Well, of course, the Pleiadians, I guess, live the longest, so I guess I have to take it back. Okay, all right. Well, okay.
I haven't met any of them lately, but I will say this. Look, we are a combination of body, mind, and spirit.
All right.
And typically, if you're working at it, your mind and your spirit gets way ahead of your body, and it's the body that ultimately brings people down.
Good point.
What this book is really all about is trying to bring those three facets of our nature together so that we can reharmonize. Because, again, aging is a disharmony in action, where reversing the aging process means we stop doing the things that are taking us down, we begin reversing the processes that already got us to where we're at, and bring these three forces back together. When we do, guess what? The energy comes back, the sex drive comes up, the skin takes on a nicer tone, the fat goes away, mm-hmm. Life becomes nice.
Okay, now, of course, I've been fat all my life. Even as a youngster, and I was young when I was a youngster,
mm-hmm.
but I was also fat. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not trying to poke holes in this
thing.
Well,
that's okay. That's okay. You want to deal with it?
I don't know.
Sure, let's deal with it.
I'm saying that I was young. What I'm trying to say to you is I was young and I was fat.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm older and I'm still fat. Now I don't know how fat has to do with being young or not.
Well, because again, the thin, I'm talking about comfortably thin, trim thin, not anorexic thin, okay?
All right.
A thin body represents a healthier body than a fat or overweight body.
So we're talking about health too, not just
just appearance. We're talking about what's really behind these things.
All right, let me mention a few of these things, because I know I'm getting you off and away from what you need to talk about, and I don't want to do that purposely, but I want to just let people understand. This is a pretty complicated test, and I'm glad we stopped for a moment. Let me just go over real quickly some of the things that you cover, and you don't necessarily have to comment on them unless you want to. So I'll just go through a few of these things, and people can hear them. You talk about things like I said before, the eyebrows being bushy. You asked questions about teeth. Are they decayed? Do they require cleaning more than a year? So on and so forth. Do you have any root canals? How many? You talk about whether the toenails or the fingernails have slow growth or break easily, spots, ridges, blah, blah, blah. You talk about hearing. You talk about whether your hearing is progressively getting worse. You ask questions about the skin, the condition of the skin. You ask questions about eyes and, of course, whether a person requires reading glasses, shadows under their eyes, whether they've got tunnel vision. You talk a lot about the condition of the stool. Whether a person has blood, hemorrhoids, gas, all those things. You talk about the physical height, you know, less than your lifetime peak, whether you're hunched over. You talk about being able to scar. You talk about the respiratory areas, whether a person suffers with water on their lung. They have a trouble catching their breathing. You talk a little bit about the bowels and the colon. The sexual, whether they're impotent or frigid, lack of interest, so on and so forth. You get into the blood and circulatory system. Fat, you talk about the increase in surface fat, body weight, so on and so forth. You get into the urinary. General metabolic, you talk about what the person drinks, so whether they have soft drinks or water, whether they use fluoridated toothpaste. You get into the liver and the gallbladder by asking questions about have you been diagnosed for or prone to hepatitis, mononucleosis, so on and so forth. Body temperature, connective tissue, stress and headaches, gastrointestinal tract, tobacco use. You talk about the people have to look at their tongue. Is it pasty white? Is it coated? Is it heavily grooved? You talk about the sleep cycle. You talk about whether they should use or whether they don't use minerals and vitamins. This is a lot of information. You talk about their appetite. Do they sit in front of a computer for more than an hour a day? This is good information. Whether they use fluorescent, mercury, sodium, vapor lights. Whether they, stand in front of a price scanner? Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they use a telephone, cellular telephone, regularly. If they're a cop, do they work with, or a police person, do they work with a radar detector? You look at the basal metabolic rate, whether it's low or high. You look at emotions, sleep patterns. For females, you have questions. For males, you have questions. And then you have a total score. So the point that I'm making is that this is a pretty detailed test. And when you get done with it, you have these numbers. Let's talk a little bit about the numbers. The number, okay, you have this thing where you say there is a reference score, and there you divide by a certain number, and you end up then with a bioelectric score conversion scale. And this is where we finally find out how old we are, right?
Yes, that's correct.
But I like this. In bold, it says, do not panic or feel hopeless if your bioelectric age is older than you think it should be.
You know why I put that there?
Well, because you said in the beginning of your book that when you were 27 years old, your bioelectric age was 39.
That's correct. I was 12 years older than I was on the calendar, which means I was getting way ahead of myself, wasn't I?
Definitely.
And that's where most people find themselves. Very few people can actually hold their actual age on this test. My compliments to anybody who does. However, this is the real point. When you look around you and you see people who are aging and falling apart, your friends, your relatives, your family, realize that they used to be just like you, and that all the people in the rest homes and the cemeteries and hospitals, they used to be just like you. And most of them
This is based on the fact that we have now changed and become better? Or you're saying that they are the result of what people who don't make a change will become?
That's correct.
That was a convoluted sentence, but I think I got it out.
Yes. In other words, if you don't take note to what caused all these other people to grow old, you are going to join them, guaranteed. No question about it.
And so the point is that we are on a road, whether we like it or not. It's a well-known road. It leads to the same place. And you are saying that if we want to find out where the road goes, just go to any nursing home and we can see it.
Take a good look.
All right.
Take a good look. That is correct. So the whole real thrust of this book, because I don't like people to get caught up in the test parts of it so much as I do, I want them to understand this. Do you want to unplug from the medical system? Would you like to take total control of your life so that you never can get caught up in the medical system? If you would like to stay perpetually young, regardless of how old you actually end up living to be, wouldn't that be nice if you feel good all the years you're on this earth? Actions have consequences. We can dictate much of our future, for good or for bad. So the question is, what do you want?
All right, so fortunately we have plenty of time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to lay down that test because I think people needed to understand there are plenty of books that are written that absolutely that give you no way to start and no way to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do is show people the difference between your book and the others I've read. Yours not only gives us a way to start, namely we can find out where we are, but then the rest of your book, and I mean it's a pretty big book, it's about 380 pages, of possible, or not possible, but ways to correct all of the issues that are brought up here. So why don't we take a few, and let's see what people can do. What would you like to take here? I mean, we have to come up with something here. Let's say a person is 15 years older than they should be. What does that mean? So let's do me as an example. Let's pretend, just for the sake of the argument here, and maybe you can help me, and if I'm not going to go the right direction, stop me. Let's say that I am 50 years old, but my bioelectric age is 65.
You're how old?
50.
50, but you're 65.
Let's say that.
Okay.
Now, how would this book help me? And I know that there are certain specifics that I need to answer. Why don't you just make those specifics in your summary?
Let's flesh this out just a little bit.
Okay.
Before you can reverse anything and take control of your life, you need to understand how you got in the mess you're in.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And that's extremely important because, remember, this book was written to help people turn on light bulbs. Everybody is plenty smart enough to make the connections if they can just see the pieces of the puzzle and how they fit together. Now, this book is the equivalent of 8 years of medical school and about 50 years of practice. However, it isn't a difficult book. It's a fun book to read, and it was written in a style that allows the reader to understand, because I've got to help you make those connections. Once you make them, then you go about reversing the process that got you there. So you're 50 on the clock, but you're really 65 in reality. In other words, you're well on your way downhill. What do you do? Well, it depends on what your problems are, Bruce. We could.
So you can pretend. No, I'm just saying. I'm going to give you the full. I'm going to give you whatever you want to say the problems mm-hmm. are, and tell us what I can do about it.
All right. Let's start with number one. This usually gets the reader going, as well as the listeners here, so they can really plug in. Behind the aging process in the human body are complications in the liver. You know, in real estate, what's the question, or what's the key thing in real estate? Location, location, location.
Right.
Well, in the human body, and in this case, in regard to the aging process, it's the liver that dictates the terms. As goes the liver, so goes the body. So let's talk about the liver specifically, because this is going to have to be dealt with in order to turn your 65 back into a 50 or back into a 35.
All right.
Now, I must tell you that when I'm talking about reversing the aging process, I'm saying, if you're bald, would you like to have your hair back? If you're gray, would you like to have your natural hair color back? If you're fat, would you like to lean down? If you have no energy, would you like to have it come up? If your sex drive went south, would you like to have it back? I mean, what I'm saying is, think back. Listeners, when you were younger, when you were healthier, when you were vibrant, when you looked, in the old days, when you looked down the road and you said, man, I've got forever, because I'm only 20 years old. Gosh, it must be really, really weird to be 50. Well, back then, you didn't think it would ever happen, but now you're there. And see, you know, a funny thing happens to people, Bruce. Let me digress for just one second. Someplace along the way, people wake up. And sometime it hits them at 35 or 40, but most often in the 45 to 55 range. And they wake up and they stand up and they squint and look down the highway. And they can see that road, that sign way down the road. And the sign says, check out, time, party's over. And they begin panicking. They begin realizing that, man, time's marching on. They're starting to fall apart. All the good things they used to enjoy, they can't enjoy. The things they used to do, they can't do. And so I'm saying, okay, what's behind it? The answer is your liver, your liver, your liver. What happens in the liver? Well, as the human body ages, or as it, should I say, becomes toxic, or I'm going to use another word, as it acidifies, because the human body does become more acid as it ages, automatically the liver starts building stones. Now, these are stones just like you think of stones, only they're all different sizes, and they are coated by funguses, different colored funguses, green fungus, red fungus, brown, black, so on. And these stones pile up in the liver. And every time the liver forms another stone with all the waste that can't get out of the body, then it plugs up another duct in the liver so that the bile, the body's waste product, you know, 75% of your waste, Bruce, leaves the body through your liver in the form of bile. Bile is the stuff that turns your stool brown, okay? Bile is the stuff that keeps your bowels working well. Bile is the stuff that keeps the parasites out of your intestinal tract. Bile is pretty important stuff. Well, as you age, the flow of bile slows down. The waste piles up. The liver becomes clogged up. And now we begin seeing all kinds of secondary problems in the body. On the guys, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the hair starts, you start balding. You know, balding, we're told, is genetic. I must tell you that balding has absolutely nothing to do with genetics. That's the biggest line of baloney that ever passed off on the public. Same
so
with
perhaps eating is the genetic problem, right? How you eat creates the problem.
Well, how you eat impacts it for sure. It's not everything. Because remember, everybody for years has written about how you eat, exercise, you know, all these various basic things, and they're all terribly important. But obviously, somebody's missing the picture here, because just doing those things won't keep you young. They'll keep you reasonably healthier, you know, a little bit healthier than the average guy who doesn't pay attention to anything. But they aren't the answer by themselves. What I wrote here is the answer. It does work. Works really well. And I'm here to tell you, at 52, it's awful nice to be able to do anything I ever did and have an age of 19. So I'm saying we can do it for you, too.
All right, so let's talk about the liver. What do you do to it?
Well, the liver purging process is talked about in the book, and bits and pieces of this have been around for almost 100 years, so it isn't exactly new. What I figured out is how to carry it to a logical conclusion where we can cause the body to rid itself of the stones that pile up in the liver, to rid itself of its excess waste. And as soon as you do that, it's interesting what happens. The whole metabolic process picks up and gets going. These stones block the flow of waste out of your body. And so, shall we say, an old body is really a body that is an acid body, or a body that is full of toxic waste. An old body is a body that the skin is breaking down, the hair is falling apart and losing its color, the toenails or fingernails are growing fungus under them. These all have meaning, and they're all talked about. Every little point that I mentioned here, the body weight starts piling on, the energy disappears, the pot belly starts on the men, and the hips start piling on the ladies, the jawline starts changing, those crow's feet start forming. All these little things that we don't like about people that we call old, which is always the other guy, you know, eventually come to haunt us too. So we got to clean up that liver, and that's talked about in the book, and I don't generally get into too much detail on the radio other than to tell you that it's a painless process. It works well, and it absolutely has to underwrite anything that's going to be done if the human body is and aging is going to be reversed.
Can we get an overview?
Yeah, a little bit here. It involves about 3 weeks of preparation to do your first liver purge. And that purge involves cleaning up all of the tissues, getting the bile flowing, getting the colon cleaned up and cleaned out, dealing with the parasites, the whole works. And then it involves the actual purging of the stones from the liver, which is painless, and it's there's no risk to it. It's not dangerous.
A person can do this themselves?
Oh, yes, you have to do it yourself.
Yes. Oh, good.
Well, this is not even taught in the medical schools. When I went through the medical training, the word liver stone will never be mentioned. A doctor will tell you there's no such thing. You're nuts. But when people see this stuff compiling out of their bodies and filling the toilet bowl, they say, wow, you know, something just came out of me. So.
And where does it come out? Because it doesn't
hurt. It comes out with your stool.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Into the toilet.
All right, fine.
See, because the liver dumps into the intestine eventually, of course, okay, dumps into the toilet and the usual.
So you say in your book that gallstones, or most gallstones, are really liver stones, don't you?
That is correct. There really is no such thing as a gallstone, other than that's typically where we find them when they have dislodged from the liver, lodged in the gallbladder, grown in size or number to the point to where now we get into serious trouble, and the doctor says, Bruce, we either got to do surgery or you're a dead man. So they open you up, take your gallbladder. But we can deal with liver stones and gallstones without ever doing any surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Walked many people out of it. It's a piece of cake to do. It doesn't hurt, and it's a whole lot cheaper. Besides, you know, any type of invasive surgery is very traumatic to your body, mm-hmm, to say the least.
So any standard colon prep or anything like that will work? Or
no.
No.
Nope. The products that are used are addressed in the book, and they are available, and they have to be used and in the procedure, and in following the procedure is recommended.
If you do that, you
can do some neat things.
You say in your book that you personally passed over 1,650 stones. I mean,
that is correct.
These are a little tiny or big, or not big.
Oh,
ones,
they go anywhere from the size of a lentil and a peanut, all the way to the size of a quarter. Now, I've never gotten any really big ones out of me. We occasionally get some out of people as big as golf balls, and we soften them all up. See, prior in the weeks preparing for this, to where when they come out, they look much like a shelled Brazil nut, elongated and smooth, and no pain. They just mush their way right out of the body.
So something softens them, or
yes, we have to soften them. Yeah, there's quite a bit of preparation that goes into this. But it's neat. Now, let's get to what happens in the aftermath of a series of flushes, because it takes generally quite a few of these to clean up a body. You must remember when people, if someone's 50 years old and they're pushing 65, as in the example you're using here, their body is in trouble, and it's in trouble on all levels. The liver is fundamental to everything else, but there's a lot of work to be done here, and so to reverse that process, it might take us anywhere from a few months to a year or two, but hey, you know what? When you get feeling better every day and you start looking better and your life gets back under your control, it's worth it.
Okay, let's say we've passed those stones out. We're ready to go. Now, what happens?
Well, I just use that as one example of one of the most important things involved in the aging process, and it applies across the board to just about everybody without exception, okay? From children right on through. Children have many, many times have got lots of stones in them. You see teenagers with acne and so on. And mononucleosis problems, chronic fatigue problems, whether you're a teenager or an adult. These problems are just, they're all tied to the liver. Hepatitis, the liver. AIDS, the liver. Keep on going, okay? So what I'm really saying is there really isn't any such thing as a disease. You know, typically you go to the doctor, and if he can check off enough of the boxes and so on, he eventually will put a label on whatever your problem is. But, you know, Bruce, really, it doesn't make any difference whether your problem's cancer or mononucleosis or obesity or no sex life, impotence or whatever it is. The issue is what you're going to do about it. That's the question. What are you going to do about it? So what I would like to devote some of our time here to is all the things that really get under people's skin that they notice, they're generally aware of, and it really bothers them, and I want them to understand that, look, as you age, when enough of when things stack up against you enough, you're gonna start getting diagnoses from the doctor, and they will fall into four categories: either cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular, meaning heart or stroke, and lastly arthritis. Those are the big four that make us miserable and destroy our lives. Now, everything else, any other label you can come up with is a spinoff of one of those four or all four. And so what I'm saying is, again, let's look at all the little things behind these things, because this is where we live. Such as, again, I talked about, I want to go back and start at the top of the head and work on down the body a little bit here for people. Balding. What's it represent? Represents clogging up the blood capillaries in the head and sluggish lymphatic system in the head. Can we deal with balding? You bet. It's not a big deal. Can we deal with graying hair? Piece of cake. How about thinning hair? Well, you know, thinning hair applies to both men and women, but the ladies tend to not go bald. They just get thin hair. And it used to start in their late 30s and 40s. Now we're seeing it in younger women in their 35-year bracket. And when your hair starts thinning, it means something. It means your system is slowing down. You see, the skin and the hair, I don't mean the skin and hair, the hair and the nails are extensions of your skin. Their job is to detoxify the body, to detoxify the skin, in this case. Think about it. When someone goes in for chemotherapy, what's the first thing that happens to their hair, Bruce?
It disappears and falls right off, yeah.
Yeah, why? Well, because they overloaded their system with radioactivity. How do we know this? Because, well, the hair falls out, number one. Number two, why does the hair go out first? Because 40% of the blood leaving your heart goes up your neck into your head. Consequently, it overloads the head and the scalp, and the hair falls out.
So that's the evidence of the toxicity in the blood, right?
That is correct. What about the nails? Well, gosh, what happens to old people, older people? Well, you know, some women, we see it under their fingernails, but certainly older people. You ever gone into a rest home or looked at your grandma or grandpa's toenails? They're all thick and yellow, and a lot of people get fungus under their toenails and fingernails. What does that mean? Well, look at your digits, your toes and fingers. What are they? They're one-way streets. Okay, they're dead-end streets, I should say. They're dead in, and when the hair and the nails aren't growing well.
I'm sitting here looking at my fingernails and my toenails as you're talking.
So the point here is that, look, these things have meaning. What about the rest of the hair on the body? Well, gosh, where do we find the hair? Well, we find it on the head, at least initially, anyway, as we were younger. We find it in the armpits, in the groin, and on the legs. And some people are hairier than others, but the point is that hair, the job of hair is to detox. And where do we find hair? In the highest lymphatic areas of the body, where the most blood and lymphatic fluids are circulating, or should be circulating, because that's how it detoxifies those areas. And guess what? As you get older, the hair doesn't just leave the head, it eventually leaves the armpits, the groin, the legs. First it grays from the top down, then it thins from the top down, then it disappears. And you go look at some of these old people, if you've worked in nursing homes or worked around these old folks, you find that their bodies become hairless. They're dying, okay? And so we have to understand that that's part of the process. The question, again, is, well, if you don't like it, are you willing to take responsibility for yourself and do something about these things? Because ultimately they are going to affect everything else you do. What about what about diabetes? They say that's the genetic, is it? No. Baloney. Has nothing to do with genetics. We can bring it on and we can send it back home where it came from just about as easy as dealing with anything else if you want to work at it. You know, in Japan, Bruce, in some of the special clinics in Japan, they deal with the big four I just mentioned, cardiovascular, diabetes, cancer, and arthritis with water. Now, they deal with it with really special water, water that's called medical-grade ionized water. And this water is strange stuff. This water is made with special equipment. And in Japan, it takes a $50,000 piece of equipment in a special clinic to make it. Here, we've now pioneered how to make this stuff in your home. And so let me give you the significance of this, because, you know, this is a really, really important point. For people who want to unplug from the medical system, take control of their lives, get rid of their medications, get their life back in their control, we can do an awful lot of it with water, because water interfaces every single activity in the body. And this water's special stuff. It's water that, well, when you drink it, its effects on the body are certainly interesting, but what it ultimately does is causes the body to start dumping its waste. It fuels. It's like putting high-octane gas in your car. It fuels your system so your body runs faster, so your system cleans up better. And we begin seeing degenerative disease that normally would take the lives of people who are on death row and turn them around and bring them back to life. Interesting, huh?
Absolutely. Now, we're just talking about the amount of water you drink as opposed to, let's say, substitutes like beverages.
Okay. Everything that isn't wet doesn't count in place of water. In fact, nothing replaces water except water. And there's obviously different kinds of water, but soda pop, soft drinks. What would you say if I told you that if you drink a lot of soft drinks, that far as I'm concerned, you're killing yourself faster than you would if you were an alcoholic?
I believe it.
Because at least the alcoholic gets drunk and fast eventually, quick, because he's drunk or he's sipping away. But people who drink soft drinks by the millions, and or I should say the billions of gallons a year in this country, and soft drinks will acidify your body and destroy your system. And as it destroys your system, your body collapses around you. And so I'm saying to you, hey, if you're drinking soft drinks, you better wake up and find out why it does you in, how it does you in, why you shouldn't be having anything to do with it.
I believe that.
Remember the word the name soft drink. Forget the word soft and remember the second part, drink, because a hard drink, hard liquor, is just that, and a soft drink is still a drink. And
so now, have I gleaned from this that if there was one thing that everyone could do immediately to change their destiny, it would be to drink water and stop everything else?
That is correct. That is correct. Water, number one.
Of course, this is not, certainly not L.A. water, I'll tell you that. So we're talking about water that has been, what, not water that has chlorine in it,
Well, any water is better than no water. We need to qualify that.
All right.
Start with that statement. Secondly, then, in the book, I deal with a water called BEV water. And BEV water is special water that you make in your home. You can't buy it. Bottled water doesn't even come close.
All right, let's talk about it. If you just said how to do it, I must have missed it. So let's do this again then. You didn't just repeat this. You're not repeating the BEV, are you?
No.
Okay, good. Because I mean, I know you were talking about water before, and I was trying to remember if I had forgotten it.
Well, I was talking about medical grade ionized water just
right.
A moment ago. Now I'm talking about BEV water.
Okay.
So let me qualify it for you. BEV water is water that is its primary focus is biologically friendly drinking water, as opposed to the medical-grade ionized water, which is therapeutic water. One is biologically friendly drinking. The other one is water we use to turn sick people around and bring them back to life. Now, what I'm saying here is, look, if you're going to put water in your body to drink, drink good water. You can't buy what you can make, and you can't afford, buy it near as cheap as you can make it either.
Okay.
So BEV's water is something people can do to empower themselves, to take control of their health and their life and their futures. Now, we take BEV water, and we have additional equipment available if people want to get the equipment, and they can make this medical-grade water that's used in the special clinics in Japan, but they can make it in their home instead. And when you got that, you've got the ability to disease-proof your body.
Are you saying that people can't make BEV water, can a person make BEV water without anything they need to buy?
Oh, no, you have to have equipment to make it.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's all discussed in the book.
No, I know, but people who are listening don't have the book.
Well, I realize that there's no way we can get into the details of it.
Okay.
Bruce, what I do want people to understand is that the focus is biologically friendly drinking water,
mm-hmm.
water that vibrates at a frequency that is healthy and to the human body, opposed to water that's just simply wet.
How about this? How much would that cost them?
Oh, Bruce, I don't get into all that. That's not my part of my department. My department is to
mm-hmm.
write about it and help you understand why you should be making it, why you should be drinking it, what it can do for you. If I can help you make those connections, the rest of it's fine.
All right. No, I wasn't asking to, let's say, put you on the spot. I was just trying to get an idea as to what people need to spend in order to make this kind of water.
But the question is way ahead, getting the cart ahead of the horse, because who cares what it costs if it's free even, because if you don't understand what value is of to you, what's the point?
Okay.
You see?
All right, so it's just like this. If you're laying on your deathbed and know that if you had BEV water, how much would you pay to be reversing your life right now?
Yeah,
right?
Well, of course, again, the question here isn't just BEV, because BEV water has now given way to the medical-grade water that we make from the BEV water. You can begin to see a progression here. And
that's the ionized water?
Yeah, the medical-grade ionized water. And so that's really where it's at. I drank BEV water for the last 4.5 years. Now all I drink is medical-grade water. Now, I'm not sick. I'm obviously extremely healthy and feel extremely good, better than I've ever felt in all my life, and I'm 52. But I must tell you that when you drink this water, you raise the vibrational frequency of the human body to the point to where disease has no place. Or, let me say it a different way, we have been bombarded with the baloney that we need to take immunizations to protect us from disease. And I must let the listeners know that, look, the germ theory of disease is baloney. It never was true. Pasteur was wrong. The human body only comes down sick and becomes diseased when you lose control of your body terrain, when you no longer are in control of your body. When that occurs, disease proliferates in the human body. When you drink this water, you actually raise the body frequency to the point to where disease, microorganisms, bugs, call them what you like, they have no place to take root. They cannot proliferate in a body that's healthy and clean. So what are we saying? We're saying that, well, if you're sick and old and diseased and unhealthy and you'd like to get young and strong and feel good and all those good things, we can accomplish an awful, awful lot with water. So much so that we can now take this same water, Bruce, we can spray it on plants and use it to knock out the bugs on the plants instead of using pesticides and insecticides and poison our earth. We can do it. We can take them out with water.
Tell me something now. You and I touched on something before we actually did the interview about a month ago when we first spoke. I told you that I had heard about a machine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, is that machine true?
All right, what you asked me about was a machine that makes a special water off of the kitchen tap, off the faucet. And the answer I gave you was yes and no. The people are being led to believe that you can produce medical-grade water off the tap. And the answer is no, you can't. Okay? For lots of reasons. Number one, the water coming in your tap into your home is absolutely polluted beyond comprehension with chemicals and poisons and everything you can imagine. And that stuff, has to be dealt with. Otherwise, you start with garbage, you end up with garbage. Secondly, to produce medical-grade water, you've got to go through a couple of more steps. But when you can make it, you've got control of your life. And so people cannot make this water off the tap. Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about mercury fillings. People, I guess, need to hear this. I know that I have a lot of mercury fillings in my mouth. I got them when I was a kid. I had no choice. What do we should do about them? First of all, what do they do, and then what should people do if they've got them?
Well, that's an interesting question. There's no question about the fact that mercury, and there's a whole chapter in my book about mercury. It's certainly one of the most toxic elements on the earth, and people are running around with their teeth full of this stuff. And when you're younger, for the most part, most people are able to get away with it, and they carry this around in their bodies until the mercury spreads out into their system and creates all kinds of secondary symptomatic problems in their body. And yes, they should be removed. However, you can't just get anybody to remove them. A dentist has to be trained in biological dentistry to remove them and remove them safely. Once people become terribly sick, Bruce, or terribly weak, or however you say it, their system is aging and they're under the fire trying to maintain their health or fighting for their lives, you can't just go in and take out those fillings. You can drive a human being over the edge real quick because the very process of removing the mercury fillings releases massive amounts of mercury into the body, and it's enough to drive you over the edge. I typically warn people to never do that until they've got their system cleaned up and tuned up first, and that involves their liver. Back to where we started, okay? So we can chelate the mercury out of their bodies. We can do it safely. We can do it at home. We don't have to go to a clinic anywhere. We can clean up the whole system, but the mercury does eventually have to be dealt with.
So you're saying, and I guess I've definitely, you have not only implied, you have said that the mercury has got to be out.
The mercury has got to be out, but there's a time and a place, yes. But you don't just go to anybody and have them take it out. You can destroy your body and destroy your life doing that, and should never be done. First things first, get yourself cleaned up and tuned up and in really good health, and then seek out a proper dentist to do that for you. And you will not find very many of them. There are not many in the whole United States. About 1 per million people.
That's a lot of fillings for some people.
Yes. Well, I had a mouthful. I had about 40 of them in my mouth because you never met a kid in your life that ate more sugar than me when I was young.
Now, but they can put anything back in, or is there something you should?
No, the material of choice is referred to as a composite, which is actually an epoxy plastic.
So we don't have to fear that down the line in 25 years someone's going to say what you're saying about epoxy.
Well, these types of dentists do biocompatibility testing, and properly done, we'll never have a problem.
Ever. I mean, I'm not poking fun at it, but I am.
Oh, I realize what you're saying. Yeah. I can tell you that when they're done and done right, they'll last anywhere from 15 to 30 years. Done as most of the dentists are doing. The most dentists don't like doing composites. They don't like these things. These things are really an assault on their integrity, an assault on their practices, an assault on their character and intelligence. But I must tell you, and they'll tell you they don't hold up long. They fall out in a couple, 3 years. Then they got to go back and do them over again. And the reason is because they didn't do them right in the first place.
But even 20 years is not as long as these silver fillings have lasted. These mercury fillings have lasted almost 45 years for me.
Okay.
So I know what I'm saying. Well, I'm not bragging about them. Yeah. What I'm saying is that I would think those dentists would want to do it, even if it was 20 years, because it would still, they'd still get, let's say, two more turns yet.
Oh no! This whole conversation is an absolute assault on the dental community, and they go rabid over this.
I would think so, because I've never heard anybody agree. Although there is a dentist out here in Ojai, California, that agrees absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, how about a few other? There are a couple other things you want to cover, because we're getting close to the end of the show, but I'm trying to give people a rough idea.
Well, we can touch on a few more things.
What about, before you do arthritis, okay, what about that special machine that grows limbs? Do you want to talk about that?
It grows limbs. You're losing me on that
okay,
one.
Okay, I thought I heard about a machine that comes from Japan. There's only one in the United States. And I mean, my goodness, if this isn't anything you know about, then it's...
Okay, all right, now I know what you're asking me.
Okay.
What you're talking about is the machine that produces the medical, and the equipment that produces the medical-grade water, because it's the water that's used, and we have this on live video for people to see. I mean, they can witness it for themselves. You can watch a human being go in on crutches with a diabetic man with no toes and no arch and walk out with a foot. It takes about 90 days.
That's what I'm talking about,
to
right?
grow a new foot. You can see people with bed sores, skin ulcers, clear to the pelvis. Muscles are gone, the skin's gone, the connective tissue's gone. You can see the bone. You can watch them fill it in, grow new tissue, and walk out.
It's the water.
It's the water. Yes. Yes. We're doing things. At the moment, the name, I can't pull it out of the air here, but there's a man that worked for IBM back in the 60s that could program water for happiness, for joy, for sadness, for anger. He could actually program the water. Water is everything on this planet, That's the one thing that sets us apart from the rest of the planets. We've got water. And water can be used to heal sick human beings. Water can be used to take out. Do you realize whether it's pink eye, vaginal herpes on a woman that's got a herpes infection, syphilis, athlete's foot, strep, staph, gangrene, that we can take out every single microbe, fungal, be it fungal, virus, bacterial infection there is with water? We don't need antibiotics. We can take it out with water with no side effects.
Pretty
Isn't
incredible.
Nice?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's
so
really exciting.
Is this where, do you think that this is where medicine should be going or is going?
Well, this is where we're going. I could care less about medicine because they're still back arguing about who's right and who's wrong and where do you have your scientific tests and all your documentation. And I'm saying, take a look.
All right.
Read for yourself. Remember, the name of the game here is take control of your own life. Forget those people. They're not interested in anything but your pocketbook. And,
absolutely.
That's all.
Right. The pharmaceuticals are constantly selling the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just over and over again with a new spin on it.
How do you say it? Would you like unplug from the medical system? That's if you can unplug and take control of your life to where you don't. Number one, you're not under fire health wise, and number two, you don't need them. Aren't you winning?
You talk a lot, or not a lot, but you talk a little bit about the idea of the aura.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we talk about that for a moment?
Well, the aura, Bruce, it reflects the state of health you're in. The sicker you are, the weaker your aura. The colors get off. You know, everything, a lot of people, of course, don't even believe we have an aura, but we do. And, you know, when you die, something happened because their corpse is laying there on the ground, but the human being that was inhabiting that body isn't there anymore. the aura represents our energy field, and our energy field is representative of our state of health. This water we were talking about a minute ago, what's important about it? Well, when you're young and you're healthy, Bruce, you produce massive amounts of energy in the form of ATP. That's our energy molecule in our body. And the more you can produce and the more you can store, the healthier and happier you are. But as you get older, you produce less and you store less. And so your aura begins diminishing, and it diminishes to the point to where eventually, of course, you succumb with sickness and disease and you die. So the physical body lags behind the spirit and the mind.
My guest is John Thomas. We are talking about his book, Young Again. It's the third edition, completely revised, How to Reverse the Aging Process. My goodness, way too much to talk about in one interview, maybe even too much to talk about in 10 or 20 interviews. The book is a must. Let me suggest that you get the book if you're interested in, if you're just interested in finding out where the health industry is probably going, this is the book to read.
Our primary job here is to empower people.
Mm-hmm.
Not sell them something, empower them. Because if we can empower them with good knowledge, they can pick up the ball and go from there. Because everybody's plenty smart enough to understand if you can just get it down to terms that they can lock in, you know, plug into.
John, what a... an incredible interview. I mean, when I started looking over the book, I realized how difficult this was going to be. I felt like it was hard to know where to start. I'm glad we started a little bit with the test because I think it gives people a basis to understand that they can actually find out where they are and then have a direction and then put themselves back someplace mm-hmm. where they'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have maybe 20 or 30 seconds. What would you like to say?
Well, let me summarize it with like this. Look at the old saying, too soon old, too late smart doesn't cut it. It doesn't do you any good to say, gosh, I woke up too late. Let's get on with the show. Take control of your life. Understand that the diabetic wasn't always a diabetic. The lady with cancer problems didn't always have cancer. Somebody with thyroid problems wasn't always that way. That these things... Something took place in the human body that took a person from the state of health to the state of sickness. We need to understand those things. When we do, guess what? We can deal with them.
John Thomas, I appreciate you being here on the show. The book is called Young Again, How to Reverse the Aging Process. Thanks so much for listening. Have a very, very good week.